For those who are just hearing this for the second time, what happened 24 years ago? 1992, which is 24 years ago. Thank you. Let's get it right. There was, in the summer, because it's every 4 years, there was not a leap year, because that's in fact, pardon, Olympics, right. And in the summer Olympics, because there's one in the winter, and there's one in the summer. The anybody know where 1992 Olympics were held?
Barcelona.
Barcelona. Give that man an extra biscuit. One of the runners at the Barcelona 1992 Olympics, he was in a heat going up towards the finals, and his name was a man called Derek Redmond. You remember him well, don't you? Right? And he was from England. He was an English athlete. And he trained, as all athletes do for the Olympic Games. He probably trained close to, not one, but probably from about two Olympics before. You know, you don't just pick it up, I fancy running in the Olympics this summer. You're training, I'm sure, for many, many years in order to compete well. And he was actually in a sprinting heat in one of the qualifying rounds. And he suddenly pulled, I read, a hamstring in his leg. And he crumpled to the track in pain. But Derek, he was determined to go on. So he struggled to his feet. And he was hobbling towards the finishing line in this 400-meter race. And his father suddenly appeared over the high wall all around the track. And he dropped onto the track. And before anybody could stop his dad, Jim Redmond, that was his name, he reached his son, struggling along in the race. And what happened was Derek leaned on his dad's shoulder, and together they hobbled, they staggered towards the finishing line. And an amazing thing happened in the whole stadium. Do you know what it was? Everybody just about got up. And they clapped him and they cheered Derek and his dad. And they crossed the finishing line. And it was if not just Derek, but Jim and all the spectators in the stadium had actually done the race. There was such a joy. There was such excitement in the stadium. Now, when you read a certain book in the New Testament, for example, the book of Hebrews, that's where we'll be looking today. It's the book of Hebrews actually encourages us in our Christian lives to run a race. To run a race. And in this race, and we'll be looking at this, they are encouraged to do so by those who've gone before and by those who are in the race at the same time. And that's what I want us to do today. I want us to see how God would have us run the race of life. And I also want us to see how can we encourage that person sat next to you to run the race as well. What sort of things, what sort of spirit do we need to have in order to do that? You see, I think at the moment, and probably for many kind of decades, we're living at a time when our generation, it loves its sports, doesn't it? It loves its sports. All kinds of sports, all right? Many men, put your hands up, guys, love your sports. Come on, Pete, get that hand up. All right. He is, he's there. He's there. I see that hand. I'm speaking onto the tape now. All right. Many guys, apparently here, not so many guys. But
are you talking about watching or just
watching and or doing. I like certain sports. Some are really good that help me sleep. But others I enjoy. And your TV at home and the whole channels that they throw out. Sky Sports, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right? There are so many channels to do with sport. And they're purely devoted to showing and broadcasting sports. If you don't like sports, you don't go on those channels, do you, ladies? Now, I've got something for you ladies as well here. All right? You might be able to identify with this wife who was once told by her husband at the beginning of September. And this is what he said, all right? A bit of tenderness at the beginning. He said, honey, okay? Dear, darling, as I'm not going to say who says uses that word a lot. But they say, and it's not my wife, okay? See, he said, now, please don't take this the wrong way, dear. But before the football season starts, is there anything you'd like to say to me? All right? Because he loved his sports. And he was going to be totally focused on his sports. So he thought he'd better give his wife a little bit of time. I think if the Apostle Paul, maybe we're assuming the writer to the Hebrews is Paul, there's other thoughts about who it was. But let's say it was the Apostle Paul. If he was alive today, do you think he'd read those back pages of the newspapers? I think he liked his sports. I think he would maybe follow the progress of various teams and athletes. If you're familiar with the writings of Paul in the New Testament, you'll know that the Apostle Paul frequently actually uses athletic references when he writes about the Christian life. And so that kind of suggests to me, maybe he liked a little bit of sport. All right? In some of the letters, he refers to boxing. There's a lovely word that's used, pummel, P-O-M-M-E-L, pummel. So that's kind of a boxing reference, okay? Then he actually refers to wrestling. And he kind of uses it to emphasize things in the Christian life. And this morning, I want us to look at how Paul refers to running the race of life. So if you've got your Bibles and you've only got one half, then you've got the right half, because we're going to be looking into Hebrews chapter 12, just two verses. Okay? And it begins probably where how it shouldn't. If you're a teacher of grammar, you should never, I was always told, emphasize, don't begin your sentences with but too much or therefore. But this is what he's never read the grammar books, you see. So in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And he begins, or the writer begins, and they say, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And then in verse 2, he says this. That's quite a long verse, is verse 1. But then he says in 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, I do thank you for your word. I thank you for the power of it, the power of God unto salvation, Paul says in Romans. And I pray today, Lord, as we delve into it, would you help us to not only just hear it, but through your Holy Spirit, will you apply it to our lives, how we can best run this spiritual race that you've called us into? Whatever you want us to hear, however you want to refine us today, I pray, Lord, would we be open and would we yield to your Holy Spirit? Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. New Testament theologians actually believe that the book of Hebrews were written, if you read it carefully, you'll see it was written to what they called the Jews of the dispersion. That was Jewish people, Jewish Christians, people converted from Judaism into the Christian faith, or as in the book of Acts it says, into the way. That's a phrase that's used to describe Christianity at that time. And to a group or groups of people in churches across that whole area who were being persecuted, who were being beaten down, who were being discouraged, all right? And he writes to encourage them, not to take them out of it, but to encourage them in it and to encourage them, keep going forward. Keep going forward in your Christian life. Now, the Word of God, preaching, teaching, that's its job. It's not to tickle our ears. It's not so much to make us feel good. And it's not actually to make us feel bad either. It's a wrong use of Scripture. The Holy Spirit does that. He takes the Word and he applies it to our lives. Because God wants us to move on in our Christian lives. Now, I think there are some very essential things that will really help us to be victorious in this Christian life. Things that we need to do and things that we shouldn't do if we want to go on. They're key to being overcomers in our Christian lives. And the writer, he likens the Christian life to running a race. And we need to check ourselves. How are you running your race? How are you running in that race of life? All right? And that's what I want to do today, is to look in just these two verses, some of the essential things that these two verses tell us about running this race. Now, the first thing that the writer mentions here, in order to run the race well, it's not just, hey, I want you to compete, but he's actually, I want you to run it well. All right? That's uppermost in his thinking. And the first thing, you won't be surprised, is faith. You need faith to run this race. Without faith, you can't run it. You can't even get in the race without faith. And it actually says, right at the beginning word, at the beginning of this verse, it begins with a therefore. And that helps us to understand where this faith has come from. Because of Hebrews 11, do Hebrews 12. Therefore, that means the stuff that's gone before. All right. And it also talks about, therefore, since we are what? Surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses. Now, who are these witnesses? Who are these witnesses that Paul's talking about? Well, he's talking about all those guys, all those people that have been mentioned in Hebrews 11. It's often called the Heroes of Faith chapter. All right? And so they all exercise faith in lots and lots of different ways. And Paul says, you're surrounded by witnesses. People of not just witnesses of the past. All the centuries, right up until now, and everybody in this room. We have to be, God has called us to be, witnesses of faith to each other. all those who've gone before have run the race, and they've completed it. But we're running it now, aren't we? And we need all the encouragement that we can get. I love reading testimonies. At the beginning of my Christian life, I couldn't get enough of Christian testimonies to read. I was only challenged when I was reading this message. I don't pick up the testimony books as often as I should. And I would really encourage you to read testimonies of Christian men and women about how faith touched their lives, how faith led people on. You know, each of us are creatures who need inspiration. You and I, we need inspiration in our Christian lives. We need reasons for doing things, and we need encouragement as we do them. And that's what Paul's doing, the writer here is doing. Now, the thing about these witnesses is this. They are not spectators. They are not up there looking down on us. And so we're not performing down here for them. All right? We're not. The idea is that we should be faithfully running the race. They're not looking down on us. All right. And we should not be spectators in this race. It's not a proper Olympics. Because in an Olympics, the stadium are filled with hundreds, if not thousands of people watching the competitors. We're the competitors. We're in the race. And we've got to run the race well. And I think one of the wonderful thing about these witnesses is they've proved the life of faith. And they've proved it's the only one really to live. And the same God who was their God helping them is what? Our God. It's the same God. The Bible actually says in the book of Hebrews, the next chapter, verse 8, it says this. You know the verse, I'm sure. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, the God who helped the witnesses of the past is the same God who helps us. He's the same. He's the same. The one who performs miracles, it's the same God. It's our God. The one to encourage us. So that the first element, as it were, to run the race is faith. But why do we need faith? Why do you think we need faith to live this life? Well, we actually need faith actually to enter the race. All right? You enter the Christian life by faith. So faith is right at the very beginning of the race. It's how we enter the race. How? By believing and trusting in Jesus as our Saviour. Why did he die? Because of my sin, because of your sin. He died on the cross so that I wouldn't have to die. So that I would be set free from it. So that I would be forgiven. The resurrection, his death on the cross, proves that. It's a guarantee that God has accepted the death of Jesus for our sins. And we become children of God when we enter and begin the race by faith. But that's the first thing. So we need faith to enter the race. But we need faith for something else. And it's in this passage here. We need faith to enable us to endure. Not just enter, but endure the race. It's tough in the race. We need faith to help us endure. Why? Well, in your faith and in my faith, in this life of faith, there are hurdles that you and I have got to jump. There are. Just like in a race. Just like in a hurdle race, right? There are hurdles that you and I have got to jump. Or we've got to go through. And then, there's hurdles. The other thing, there are hindrances. to this life of faith? There are. And we've got to endure them. And we've got to overcome them. And then there's something else. We've got hurdles to jump. We've got hindrances. And there's another thing. You've got, and I've got, hurts. There's hurts in this life. And we've got to know how to endure them. How to overcome and go through these hurts. You see, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, you need faith. How long you've been a Christian, you're going to encounter these three types of things all the time. You know, you're running to things and you're running to people. And they can be a hurdle. They can be a hindrance. All right. They can cause you a lot of hurt. And you've got to know how to deal with it, how to push through. Now, where do you get this faith? Where do you get this faith from? It's a gift. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. And you can ask God for that faith for the race of life. And you can keep on asking more and more and more, because we need more and more faith, different kinds of faith. So it's not essential just to endure the race, or even to enter the race. There's something else as well. I don't want to just enter the race. And I don't want to just endure it. And I'm sure you don't want. The third thing is what? I want to be effective. Don't you? In my Christian life. I want to count for God. How? By faith. Exercising faith. I can be effective in the race. Whether or not we run our race well is dependent upon the exercise of our faith in God. All right? Whether we run it well. I am blown away when I read in the New Testament, particularly the Gospels, when Jesus says about faith, faith the size of a what? Mustard seed. What will it do? Move mountains. Why? Because it's faith in the Supreme God. Because it's not the amount of faith you had, it's so much as who you got your faith in. That's the key to it. When you feel like throwing in the towel in the Christian life, things just seem to be going sadly wrong all around you. You want to give up the Christian life. We need more faith. We need more encouragement from God. Faith's absolutely essential. The second thing, I've got three F's for you this morning. First one is faith. The second, and it's interesting, Jeff prayed when we were up here, and I thought, I wonder if he's had ear to my message. Freedom. We need freedom. We need God's freedom. That's also required to run your race well. Freedom. In these games to which the writer refers to, like the origin of, say, the Olympics, there were all kinds of bodily hindrances that need to be laid aside. You know, not running in your wellies. You know, a silly illustration, I know. But you need to be streamlined, carrying the minimum of weight in order to run the race well. And that's the same with us. We can be laden down with stuff and it'll slow you down in the race, make it less effective in that race of life. What sorts of things lay you down? Well, anything that competes for God in your life, that's a hindrance, that's a weight. Anything that takes away our attention from God is a hindrance. Can be a hindrance for us. things that mop up your time when the time could be better spent in doing other things can be a hindrance. But the thing that lots of people don't like to mention is sin. Sin in your life, whatever kind of sin it is a hindrance in you and I running the race. It definitely is. Another one, doing what you want and not what God wants is a hindrance. And so we need to seek God's guidance. How about unhealthy relationships with people? They can be a hindrance. They can be a hindrance in running the race. You see, I believe that the Christian life is a disciplined life. That's where the word disciple comes from. All right? And we've got to discern what things can be hindrances to us. Now, what do we need freedom from? What do we need freedom from? Well, the writer speaks about the things, the weights that cripple us and lay us down and weigh us down. We need to be willing, lay them aside. Don't let them slow you down in your Christian life. Has anyone here ever had back trouble? I've got to put my hand up here. Back trouble. All right. Well, I've got a story about a man went to see his doctor because he had back trouble. And the doctor examined him and he said, you're not having back trouble. No, you're not having back trouble. And the man says, not having back trouble. It's aching like that. You're not having back trouble. You're having front trouble. What do you mean by having front trouble? Well, he says you're too heavy. You're carrying weight. And you never put your weight on the back, do you? Always, weight always goes on the front where everybody can see it. Oh, look at you, haven't you put weight on? They don't wait till you walk past and look at your back and say, oh, you put weight on. It's there for all to see. We put weight on. Carrying excess weight, excess baggage. And I think the first call in verse 1 concerning freedom here is I think there is a call to be discerning in our lives. What do I mean by that? We need to know about those things that are slowing us down, me down. I need to know about the stuff that slows me down. All right? And we need to know the things, ourselves, all right? Anything that diverts your attention, like, or saps your strength or your energy, soaks up your time. Another one is dampening your enthusiasm. If anything does that in your Christian life, you've got to be free from that. We should and need to be free from that. So ask God, Lord, make me discerning. Is there anything that is holding me back? Anything that is holding me back? The interesting thing about runners, I'm not a great runner. I had a brother who was a great runner, but I'm not a great runner. And I remember him saying, is a runner doesn't choose between good and bad. They don't. They choose between good and best. Because most things that Christians do, if they're trying to walk with God, are good things. But there are such things as best things in the Christian life. And sometimes we're slaves to good things. When God is, I've got the best thing that I want to be doing and involved in. All right? I'm jumping a bit here. Oh, yes. One thing before we move on to the last point is the race of life is not a competition between you and me or between each other. It's not. It's not a competition. That's how it differs from sort of Olympic races. It's not a competition. All right? I read the story of two campers. All right? And they were hiking in the forest, and all of a sudden, they're confronted with this bear. All right? And it had jumped out of a bush in front of them, and it started running after them. Now, what would you do? Pun? You'd run, and that's what they did. They set off running.
And smashed the mic.
Is it on? Yes. Praise God. I've got to hold it in. Right. They were set off running. They're still running. Okay? And suddenly, one of the guys... It's going to drop. One of the guys stopped. Took his rucksack off. Took out some running shoes. And there he was, putting the running shoes on. And he said, "You can't outrun the bear in those." And he said, "I'm not trying to outrun the bear. I'm trying to outrun you." What would? Because the bear would eat him. All right? It's not a competition. It's not a competition. We actually are to jolly one another along. And so, Christian, stay in your own lane. Don't try and run my race, and I won't try and run your race. Know the race that God has called you to, and don't cross over into my lane. I'm not saying don't help me, please help me along. But we both got, like, and they're not exactly the same. They're not exactly the same. My life is different to your life. In terms of the content of it, we've got to run our own race. It isn't a competition. Now, I came across a lovely story about running. There's lots of stuff about running. Now, where's it gone? Here it is. Who broke the 4-minute mile?
Bannister.
Roger Bannister, May the 6th, 1954. I was 2 years old. I saw it on the TV. Did they have TVs then? No. Okay. And Roger Bannister, he became the first man in history to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. How long did it take, do you think, to break his record? 2 months. A man called John Landy. He beat Roger Bannister's record by 1.4 seconds. Amazing. All right. Then on August the 7th, same year, 1954, the two met together in a very historic race. And they moved into the last lap. John Landy was out at front. And he made the fatal mistake. Do you know what it was? He looked back. Where's Roger? And when he looked round, Roger beat him to the line. And Paul here, the writer, says, don't look back. Don't look back in the race. What I could have had, that's gone. What's important is now. How we're running now. That's so important. And if I messed up back there, I messed up back there. If I've sought God about it and God has forgiven me and I believe that by faith, then I carry on running. And I don't, shouldn't be dead weight to me. I've been forgiven. There's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. So I shouldn't I shouldn't carry it. I shouldn't carry it behind. And we all mess up sometime. All right? We all mess up sometime. But we move on from it. I move on from my mistakes and you move on from yours. I can't move you on from yours and you can't move me on from mine. You can help me. You can point me. But I do the moving. Because it's between me and God. The last thing. To run the race well. What does he say? Hebrews 2. Focus. Focus. Faith. Freedom. Thank you. Adam, I see you in a moment then. Faith, freedom, and focus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let us look only unto Jesus. So focus on Jesus. Where you look in running, like I said, is very important. Extremely important. And where you're looking in your Christian life is important as well. And we need to keep our eyes fixed. I've been just reading and reading story, and I came across a lovely story. It was about Spain, not Barcelona. It was actually in Rome, there was a palace. And in this palace, there was this wonderful picture. And an artist, a Spanish artist, a young man, he actually wanted, he thought it was so wonderful, he wanted to paint it. So he brought his easel in and his paints and he started to paint and they moved him on. You can't do that. You can't set up your easel here and paint it. We don't allow it here. And so, no, do you know what he did? He so wanted to paint it. Do you know what he did? He actually sat for hours and hours looking at it. And he looked at it and looked at it. And then he went home and he painted. And then he went back again. And he sat for hours looking and looking. And he went home and it seemed to come alive for him. And he kept doing that until he was satisfied with the painting that he'd painted. And then an amazing thing happened. His friends came in to have a look at his picture. And they thought it was absolutely wonderful. And they asked him, "Where's this picture?" And he said, "It's in that palace in Rome." And they were encouraged to go in and look at the original because of looking at his painting. Now, what has that got to do? It's to do with us. Because what is the chief aim of our Christian life? No. That's probably second or third. Pardon? Become like Jesus. And then we'll bear fruit. Become like Jesus. How do we become like Jesus? Get to him. Look at him. Like the artist. And then an amazing thing will happen. When Jesus becomes so real to each one of us, people will say, "Silvanus, what makes you tick? What makes you tick?" And what do we say? Jesus. I've looked at him. I've dwelt upon him. I've thought about him so much. I'm becoming like him. And what do we do? Our life points to who? To Jesus. Points people. I want to know that person that has completely taken hold and changed your life. So it's important for our focus, but God always has other things up his sleeve and he wants to make us more like his son so that we can be the best witness, bear fruit that he wants us to point people to Jesus. So where we focus, who we focus on, is so important. So important. Yes, we need faith. It's to do with Jesus. Faith in who? Jesus and what he's done. The freedom. How does the freedom come about? Back to Jesus again. If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Who gives the freedom? Jesus. I came to set the prisoners free. That first thing he said in the synagogue, Jesus picked up the scroll. This scripture has been fulfilled in your eyes. And then he goes on to say, I have come to set the prisoners free. There's the freedom in Jesus. But who we focus on, we focus on Jesus. We don't focus on holiness. And yet holiness is so important. We focus on the person of holiness, Jesus, because it's manifest in his life. We see it. It's worked out through the life of Jesus. So how are you running the race? That's what I want us to get hold of in 2016. I'm going to run this race in 2016. And not because there's an Olympic year. But it's a good link there. Maybe every time you and I see anything to do with the Olympics, I'm running the race of life. Maybe God will bring that to mind. But we need faith. We need to be freedom from excess weight. Don't run with baggage. And finally, when you're running, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Because if you don't, what happens if you run like this? What happens? You bump into something or you fold over. You trip up. Try it. Have fun. Do it on grass, not concrete. Just a suggestion. And stead off like this, okay? And watch out for the walls, because it'll suddenly come upon you. All right? But focus and keep looking. Because God wants us to run this race. God wants us to run this race well. I want God to say, when I meet Jesus, hey Andy, you ran it well. You ran it well. Don't you want that? I didn't get in by the skin of my, what did I say, the skin of my teeth? Skin of my pants, is that? The seat of your pants. And what is it to do with teeth then? Thank you. I got in by the skin of my teeth. What does that mean? I'll have to reflect on that one. I don't want God to say, hey, you just managed it. See to your pants, Andy. And I've had all this time to have a go at it. And you know, it can only start now. Don't postpone it. Oh, well, I'll sort this out in October. You know, no, now's the time. Because when you look back in October, you want to say, hey, these 9.5 months have been great. I've been running it as well as I can. All right? Maybe another message would be, how can I help you run this race? How, not just me, but how can we help each other to run this race? Maybe that's another message.